The following podcast is a production of Institutional Real Estate Incorporated. For the most comprehensive industry news and information, visit our website at irei.com and sign up for our free daily news alerts.
Welcome to the program. My guest is Francisco Luis, a certified public accountant and tax partner with Grant Thornton and the accounting and consulting firm San Juan Puerto Rico office. We are going to talk about Puerto Rico's Tax Incentive Acts numbers 20 and 22, tax incentive laws aimed at luring wealthy American investors to move there, and help revive the island's economy, which has run into some trouble in recent years. These tax incentives have now been in place for just over 3 years. Now, by the way, Act Number 22, the Individual Investors Act, was designed to primarily attract high net worth investors to Puerto Rico by providing complete tax exemptions on dividends, interest, and capital gains, so long as the individual is present for at least 183 days, basically half the year, in Puerto Rico. So let's find out how it's working. Francisco Luis, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mike. It's a pleasure to be part of your program.
Let's start off with having you give us an outline of the Puerto Rico's tax incentive program. I mentioned Act Number 22, but why don't you take us to both of those acts, numbers 20 and 22. What is the tax incentive program in a nutshell?
Sure. Basically, Act 22 is the one for individuals, as you mentioned. This provides for Puerto Rico tax purposes, 100% exemption on passive income, basically interest income, dividend income, and capital gains. Obviously, this works based on the relation of the political relation that Puerto Rico has with the United States. Puerto Rico is a U.S. territory, and Puerto Rico-born individuals are U.S. citizens, but we have certain particularities in terms of the taxation with respect to the U.S. code. On the other hand, Act 20 is the one that provides a flat 4% tax for the net income generated in Puerto Rico for services that are being provided to an outside market. Again, this structure is based also on the political and tax situation of Puerto Rico, that even though it's a U.S. territory, Puerto Rico entities are considered foreign entities for purposes of the U.S. code. And based on those parameters of the U.S. code, Puerto Rico has been able to develop these incentives acts.
Now, you mentioned 4% flat rate. That's an extraordinarily good rate right there. Mm-hmm. What is the name of the program, Francisco? Is it simply Acts 20 and 22, or does the program have a different name?
This is commonly referred to Act 20 and 22, but that has created some misconceptions because, for example, you don't have to apply for both acts. You can have, for example, people that move to Puerto Rico and don't create any entities, and they're just going to be enjoying the benefits on their Act 22, or vice versa. You may have individuals that creates an entity in Puerto Rico, and that entity operates under Act 20, and no one's moved to Puerto Rico. But since both acts were basically approved at the same time, that was on January 2012, they are commonly being referred to as Act 20 and 22. In essence, Act 22 is referred to the New Investment Residence Act here for Puerto Rico, and Act 20 is the name of the act is the incentives for the export of services.
Now, what is its objective? Obviously, you're looking to attract business like any other country in the world. Could you just kind of summarize for us how it is articulated there in Puerto Rico as to what the program's objective is?
Sure. Puerto Rico is now in a phase that is trying to transition from the manufacturing sector, from the manufacturing industry in which it has developed its economy during the last 60 years, to a service economy. This is no different than what Puerto Rico already did in the 1940s and 50s when it transitioned from the agricultural industry to the manufacturing industry. And right now, since 2012, we are now focused on more on the service industry. This goes also with respect to the to some changes that were made in the U.S. Code in the late 90s. I'm going to get a reference to a code section in the U.S. Code, section 936. Under that section, if most of the pharmaceuticals were bring here to Puerto Rico to develop manufacturing operations in Puerto Rico, those benefits that they had in the U.S. Code elapsed in 2010. And after that, we have had this exodus of manufacturing businesses and no significant expansion on those. And that's why Puerto Rico has now focused more on the service economy under these programs.
Now, I had said that the program has been in place, and correct me if I'm wrong, Francisco, but it has been in place a little more than 3 years. So how has it performed thus far?
So far, approximately, and these incentives work by means of issuance of a tax exemption grant. This is like a contract that the taxpayer receives. And so far, there has been issued approximately 1,000 tax grants under Act 22 and close to 800 grants under Act 20.
Now, do these have a sunset provision, or are they going to be in place basically permanently or until your legislature just decides to repeal them?
As it is right now, obviously there could be subsequent legislation that may eliminate the incentives, but that's one of the main benefits of having the tax grant, because the tax grant will grandfather any changes in law or any new requirements that they may be in place. As it is right now, if you get a tax grant under Act 20, those benefits of the 4% tax are going to be valid for a period of 20 years. And at the end of the 20 years, if the Act is still valid and in place, you may extend that for 10 additional years. With respect to Act 22, those benefits are going to be in place until the sunset of year 2035. Now, again, there may be changes to the laws. Actually, there are some changes that are being considered right now, and I'm going to get into that shortly. But if you already have a decree that covers and establishes the requirements that you're going to have, those are going to be grandfathered to any changes. For example, when Act 20 was enacted in 2012, there were no employee requirements at that point. And there are tax grants that have no employee requirements because they were issued under that state of law. In 2015, there was a change to the Act 20, and a new requirement to create 5 employees was put in place into the law. So tax grants have issued or applied for after that amendment that occurred in November 2015 are now subject to these 5 employee requirements. As a matter of fact, and we have a new government administration since January 2017, which actually was the same administration from the same political party that approved Act 20 and Act 22 in 2012. This new administration has presented a new bill to eliminate again the employee requirement. So we have to see how this goes in the legislative process, but we can anticipate that there may be changes. So these changes, whether or not you have already obtained your tax grant or not, are extreme consideration and should be monitored.
Now, there is nothing unusual about a municipality or a state or a country offering a tax incentive, but when we spoke a few weeks ago, Francisco, you had pointed out that there's other attributes or characteristics regarding what Puerto Rico is doing and the sort of inducements that are there for business people and investors to do business in the so-called 51st U.S. state. What are some of those other inducements?
Yes, for example, in Puerto Rico, we have also some local municipal taxes focused on property taxes and volume of business tax, which applies as a license. Act 20 and also the municipalities provide additional incentives to businesses that put their operations in their municipalities. Like, for example, right now, Act 20 provides a 60% exemption on the for the volume of business tax that applies to the corresponding municipality. Now, for example, the municipality of Guaynabo, which is one of the in the metro area, offers an additional 20% to that exemption. Based on an ordinance that was approved in March 2017. So it's very important if a business is deciding to establish an operation here in Puerto Rico to seek what municipalities are offering most of the of additional incentives or benefits to the operations that are being set up therein.
Now, what industries or lines of business have responded in the biggest way? I did hear you talk about the service industry. Is that the case, that the industry that's responded in the biggest way is our service businesses? And
Actually, they have to be servicing activities, like, for example, consulting services, advertising services, marketing services, distribution services. We have seen a lot of activities with respect to technology. That's one of the most attractive industries that we have seen on the Act 20. And also the concept of the international trading companies. International trading companies is kind of a bit of a service, but it's basically the coordination of the acquiring of property or inventory outside of Puerto Rico and delivering that to outside of Puerto Rico without that property being moved to Puerto Rico. Like, for example, let's say that you acquire a TVs, televisions from China, and you make a drop shipment of those TVs to Brazil. You can set up an office here in Puerto Rico and conduct that transaction without importing the TVs to Puerto Rico and then exporting them to Brazil. Just conducting the sales transaction here in Puerto Rico, and that transaction will be qualify under the benefits of Act 20. For example, we have seen a lot of businesses that have this type of operation of international trading entities or service entities in Miami that have because of the relationship with Latin America. That operation there in Miami will roughly cost approximately 40% in federal taxation. If that entity is, or that operation is set up here in Puerto Rico, it has the benefits of being considered a U.S. territory, and it will be subject to a 4% tax rather than the 40%, that almost 40% tax that in Miami. So we also have seen a great deal of interest from entities from Europe that are trying to develop to markets in the Latin America or in the U.S., considering the benefits on the Act 20 to conduct those transactions.
How is the program being marketed?
That's one of the areas that I think we are still a long way ahead, because, for example, every time we go to a conference outside of Puerto Rico, we have participated in various conferences like in Panama, in the DR, in Miami as well. There's no knowledge about these incentives. And not only that, there's no knowledge about how is the political and tax situation between Puerto Rico and the United States. For example, in some instances, I have heard or I have been asked if a U.S. citizen moves to Puerto Rico to get the benefits on the Act 22, if he has to relinquish the U.S. citizenship. And there's not a requirement at all. Actually, you are a U.S. citizen when you continue to be here in Puerto Rico, and if an alien moves to Puerto Rico, since this is a U.S. territory, it has to be considered, and it has to meet all the requirements of a U.S. citizen as well.
Now, are you expecting the program to accelerate in coming years? And I ask this question because it sounds like you guys are still figuring out how to best promote the program, make it more widespread in terms of awareness. So are you expecting that the program will accelerate in the coming years?
I definitely believe so, Mike. We have seen a lot of interest, not only now from businesses or citizens in the United States, but also for other part of the world. For example, approximately 2 months ago, we held our first China summit here in Puerto Rico, and there were over 100 CEOs from China companies interested in moving to Puerto Rico to set up operations on the Act 20 or move to Puerto Rico on the programs like the EB-5 and consider also the benefits on the Act 22. So definitely we believe this is a strong alternative for Puerto Rico to recover from this economic crisis that has lasted more than 10 years now.
How is the Puerto Rican economy doing right now? Is it getting better?
I think not only better, but it's more stable than for example, 2 years ago. At least there's some stability with respect to what may happen. Let me explain why. In June 2016, President Obama signed into law PROMESA. This is the act that put in Puerto Rico an oversight board that now now oversees all the public finance here in Puerto Rico, and not only the public finance but also the Puerto Rico government budget is also monitored by this oversight board, and this is a great opportunity for Puerto Rico to take the decisions more from an economic perspective rather than a political perspective, because we have the opportunity now to move ahead. This board is something similar to what New York, Washington, and Detroit had in the past, obviously with the different considerations that we are now a U.S. territory, or a city or a state, as in the case of those that I mentioned.
Now, are there any enhancements or revisions being discussed to the program right now, Francisco, or would you personally propose any kind of changes to it, or do you think it's just fine the way it is at this point?
We will see if it's fine as the way it is. I believe the employment requirement should not be a one-size-fits-all, just to put in place a five-employee requirement as it is right now. Not necessarily holds true to what should be the negotiation between the government and the new business that is going to move to Puerto Rico. Some services entities are focus on employment, some of them not. So I think it should be more like a case-by-case basis. There may be businesses that may require 10 employees. There may be businesses that require only 2 employees, or there may be call centers that require 200 employees. I mean, it's just a matter of see on a case-by-case basis and see what's the best for the business and also for Puerto Rico.
Francisco, we wish you and all of Puerto Rico luck with this program. Thank you for taking the time to explain it to us.
It's been a pleasure. I just want to make a clarification on one of the comments that you made, Mike, with respect to the residency requirements here in Puerto Rico. When we have a U.S. citizen that moves to Puerto Rico, we have to be very careful with the federal tax implication of that move, because he continues to be a U.S. citizen. And in the U.S. code, there are 3 tests that this U.S. citizen have to comply to be considered a bona fide resident of a U.S. possession, in this case, Puerto Rico. And those are the present test, which is the one that you mentioned about the 183 days, but there are also 4 additional alternatives to meet that test. And in addition to that, there are 2 tests, which is the tax home test and the closer connection test. The tax home test, basically the taxpayer has his principal place of business here in Puerto Rico. In the other hand, the closer connection test is the one that he has to demonstrate that he has a closer connection stronger with Puerto Rico than with the U.S. This means, for example, he has to move his family to Puerto Rico. He has to have his stuff and his banking relations and his personal belonging here in Puerto Rico. He has to be registered to vote here in Puerto Rico. So it's more what I'm trying to say is, if a U.S. citizen or any foreign individual is trying to consider the Act 22 benefits in Puerto Rico, he really has to consider that he has to move to Puerto Rico and be a bona fide resident of Puerto Rico.
Well, and when you talk about that, the quality of life in Puerto Rico is, despite the financial problems, the quality of life in Puerto Rico is what? Is very good?
I say it's very good. It's every place that you go, there are good areas, there are areas that are not that good. It's just a matter of where you get into. For example, we have seen a lot of new residents that have moved to areas in, like Condado or Dorado. This is a town here in Puerto Rico. Those are excellent places to live here, not only for the new residents, but also for the locals as well. So there are great places here in Puerto Rico, and I think the benefits are really need to be considered if you have this type of operation that you are servicing an outside market of Puerto Rico, or if you are an individual that are receiving significant amounts of dividend income, interest income, and capital gains. If those, obviously, you have to consider the federal tax implications of those type of incomes as well, but the consideration is of merit.
Francisco, thank you again for coming on the program.
Thank you, Mike. It's been a pleasure. Thanks a lot.